You guys, today I got to talk to Heather, a trainer and a badass and an honest, sweet, encouraging human being. And it was my pleasure. She is one of the major beacons that kept me coming every day. She didn't know that. I just felt her commitment and I felt that she liked me. And it made me want to show up for myself and for her. So, anyway, get ready to meet Heather. The intro is a little funny because we kind of just start talking about music, but you are listening to the Burn, Feel the Burn podcast. Don't be confused. We are not music critics. Okay, that's it. Enjoy.
What's going on?
I saw you rocking and rolling
Where
online.
was I rocking and rolling?
You were at a concert?
Oh, did you watch me dance or
Yeah.
not dance? I'm awful. It shouldn't be allowed. It's
I have
awful.
to say, from my vantage point, it looked like you had moves.
I don't. I fake it. I'm a salesperson. I just fake it.
I think that's so funny because I thought to myself, I'm not joking. I was like, wow, I'm like, I don't trust my body physically anymore to do what is socially acceptable.
I've never actually been able to dance. It's been one of those things. I don't know.
That's
I
funny.
don't know. It's bad.
Who was it that you were seeing? What music?
Lainey Wilson.
Oh,
I'm a
yeah. So,
country girl. I'm a country girl.
yeah. Is
Oh
that
my God. Fully.
fully?
Yeah, and never before. Like, I mean, I'm 110, so like names you probably won't remember, like
Tell me.
Kenny Rogers and stuff like
Yeah.
that, Fleetwood Mac, which is not really country, but like, so I always like kind of liked it, but never really got into it. And then I just started listening to it. I'm like, oh my God, this is my jam. Mix, where you have people going like, what are you doing?
Have you ever played it at Burn?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Like, I've literally played it to work out to, and you either get people who are so happy about it, or you get people who are like, turn it off, girl. It's not working.
Oh my God, that's so
Oh,
funny. No, I grew up in Houston.
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And when I was little, I was on a family road trip with my parents, and we were at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I was having strawberries. And I was walking, I was the head of my pack, and then it was my sister, then my brother, then my mom and my dad. And as I was walking, I looked left, and Kenny Rogers was sitting right
Oh,
there. And I
Lainey
stopped, and my
Wilson.
whole family slammed into me.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I froze. I
I
just
loved
froze.
him. I loved him.
Yeah.
And
I
then
mean,
he got all that work and he looks weird.
and he's
He looks
gone now. Yeah.
yes, he's weird at the end. But yeah, I liked him. I liked him. So I was at Lainey Wilson, who I don't know why, but I generally like male country singers better than female.
Yeah, I
Can I
think
say
that's
that?
an unfortunate common
Yeah.
situation. But I am a fan of this woman, Laurie McKenna,
I don't
who
know what that is.
you do
I
actually, because
don't. Oh, I do?
she's written all this a million songs that you know for country.
Oh. Oh, I love that. All right, I'm gonna have to look her up.
Dive in. So she wrote her big hit, her first one of her first. She wrote a lot. She wrote an entire Faith McGraw album or Faith Hill album,
Oh, okay.
Unglamorous. Like, I mean, almost all of it is her original material. So Unglamorous, this was years ago, and then she Humble and Kind is her song from Tim McGraw.
Oh, I
Girl
love it.
Crush,
So everybody
girl.
else sings all of her songs.
That's
That's
a
kind of.
very that's the beauty of I mean the what I love about country music is I mean I grew it was in the background, John Denver, all that stuff was my childhood and my parents' influence. And they were never into music. But then I grew up as an actor in the city and all my friends are songwriters. So I
Oh, that's
started to
cool.
like understand the process, you know?
I would love to be behind the scenes and get to understand that. Like, I'm always like, do they write the words first? Do they write the music? Do they all of a sudden like, are they just sitting there and going like, oh, that's a song? Like, how's that work? you know?
So yeah, Lauren McKenna is like an incredible, one of my singer-songwriter friends was like, I think you're going to like her. And I do. And I've seen her at venues. I mean, now she plays big venues, but I saw her with like three other people in New York City. And she's like, this is why I don't like New York. Like I don't self-promote well, but I mean, she's winning Grammys and stuff now. She's a part of like a writing group of three people that she's one of three that have written an excessive amount of hits.
I gotta look her up. I don't know a ton. I've just, like, in the
Yeah.
last 2 years, like, started getting into it, and now I'm like, that's all I listen to. It's like, it's so much purer, like the
Yeah.
words, the meaning, the so yeah, I'm all in. I'm gonna look her up.
And I would just, and another side note is that she was a mom of like many children before she transitioned into songwriting or started playing more. Like she was a very young bride in Boston and then got on in this songwriting circuit in Boston. And then, and now she's at the Grammys and the Country Music Awards and she's so notable, but she really lived like a full life prior to pursuing her own ambitions. It's very, and she's just, so that part of it is what keeps me interested in her. But I don't, the brassy sort of selliness of country is not my scene either.
I imagine it's like you have a bad day. Like, I think about this all the time. Like, you have a bad day, or you're pensive. I'm like extremely emotional and pensive, and overwhelmingly so. It's awful. It's one of my bad traits.
What does pensive mean to you?
I overthink everything.
Okay.
I think it could be the easiest thing, and I start to think, and then I think of like, all right, well, what if that happens? Well, what if this changes what that happens? And what are the ramifications of this? And how is this going to affect me? And how's this going to affect 10 years from? Like, I literally overthink everything to death, which is exhausting. I think to myself, wouldn't it be cool if I could just, like, one of the things that I constantly strive to do is just let it out, right? Like, brain dump, like, it helps me sleep, right? Like, I'll write in my journal before I go to bed and I just brain dump. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be cool if you could just put that to music, like, get all of your stuff out and make it like actually mean something? Like, because one day I'm just gonna burn my diary so nobody ever sees any of my thoughts and
Let
goes,
me give
oh
you
my
a
God, nutcase.
little hint about diaries. I was a big journaler, before I was even classified myself as a writer. I journaled, when I started when I was 16, my English teacher, hashtag Lori Barnett, made me get a journal and I didn't want to write in it. And then another advisor was like, well, if you like to look at it, make it pretty or nice to touch or something, and maybe you'll want to hold it, even if you don't want to write in it. I was like, okay. So I started drawing on my journals. And then, but the funniest part was years went by. I was writing. I lived with my sister, who is not a creative person in that regard. Like, and I saw my journal had moved, and I was like so upset. And
My worst nightmare. That was my worst nightmare.
and she was my roommate, so you can imagine probably some things were about her. I said to her, I was like, did you read my journal? And she goes, boring as the day is long. Like, she's like, don't worry, leave them wherever you want. Never picking that shit up again. And
Oh, that's hilarious.
I thought to myself,
Okay.
that's true. Like,
And nobody wants to read your shit.
nobody wants to read your journal until
Right.
you're dead, probably. And then,
And then
like,
still,
I can't.
probably nobody wants to read
Maybe.
mine.
I mean, I would be interested in others' journals that, that I
I
knew,
don't know. I just say it like I really feel like it's got to be straight from you. Like, no filter, like everything. So I think people would be like, she was a nutcase.
Except that that was your nutcase day.
Yeah, and like I just need to tell someone, and sometimes you're just like, I don't want to be judged. I just want to get it out. I
I
just
thought about
put it out
burning
there.
them too. I have a lot of like,
I haven't yet.
what I think is like sordid 20, emotional girl love business in there. And I was like, oh my God, my children are going to be like, how did she ever get to dad? But
I think if my kids read it, it might be scary. Yeah.
Well, so what I thought about was I was like, no, because then they just know that you're human and that the crazy thought they're having is momentary. Yeah. Because on three pages later, I'm talking about someone and something else.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think probably not even three pages for me. It's like, no. Like random thoughts all over the place.
Yeah. I think, but I do it. You do it at night. I do it. I've made myself. I do it the minute I wake up in the morning.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
And that.
Remember your dreams?
A lot of my creative process gets solved unconsciously sometimes as I'm coming from sleep. Like the minute I wake up, I have like the ideas I hold on to the most. And they're not necessarily like dream related as they are. I'll have like career ideas of like, I'll visualize something. I don't know why this happens to me. And maybe I've like worked the muscle enough that that's what I rely on. But I was just talking to Kina about maybe being narcoleptic. I realize I have to shut down my brain to transition sometimes in life. Like I have to like lay down and just chill before I go and do something else. But anyway, so I write. Yeah. And then I also like purge my anxieties so that I can have a conversation with someone else.
No, and that's why I journal. Like, not that I'm purging, because I never purge. It's always there. Like I literally wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, I have to write my, like, oh, Jake needs to get his socks from the car. Like,
so that. I delineate lists. I'm a big list person too. I think if pensive is the word, yes.
Stickies everywhere.
If pensive is the word, then about being, you know, I don't question all the time my decisions, but my husband does that more, but I ruminate. And then I also, but the list of things to do, I like the checker offer, but when I write in my journal, I try to keep it. This one particular journal is not creative based. It literally is just like minutia based of like my mind. Less about things though, and more about like how I'm feeling. I try to delineate.
It's actually interesting to hear you say you have different journals for different reasons. Like that in itself is to me a creative person. Like I literally don't delineate. I literally just whatever is in my head, I just empty out.
Who do you like to read? Do you like to read anyone?
Deirdre actually is the person that I need to go to figure out what I like, because she knows all the things that I like. You know, it's interesting. It's my mood. Like sometimes I just like brainless stuff, like over the summer when I have a lot of work and I'm like doing a lot of tough things.
Yeah.
Just like brainless stuff. But I also like, I also like Lisa Genova, I think is her name. Yeah. That's like based, you know, or she's like a doctor and she talks about sort of medical things.
Yeah.
She gets into the minutia of like the medical things and builds a story around it. And so I feel like I learn while I read.
Yeah.
It depends on my mood.
Like historical fiction or like
stuff like that. Not a ton. Like, because I really look at reading as an outlet, like brainless, just.
Oh my God, I love that. Reading as an outlet.
It is. Like, I say to people all the time, like, don't make me think when I read. Yeah. I don't want to think when I read. I'm trying to think like Jeffrey Archer. Like, I do like some of that Wall Street stuff, some of it. It really depends on my mood. But during the summer, I will honestly say, and it's probably. I shouldn't say it, but like really brainless stuff, like love story kind of stuff.
Yeah. But like, so I was told once that like, or from some, that like when we turn on the television, we're attracted to our norm. Sometimes we're attracted to the opposite, but we lean towards like, you know, our country has gotten into like watching many a like homicide show or CSI, and it's just funny. Like I find, like I do find peace in like the chaos of a family,
Like that's where, like, when I see the chaos, like a family in chaos, I'm like, oh, let's see how they do it. Like I find
Yeah.
like, and
Well, it
I,
also makes you feel like normal, right? Like
yes,
other
yeah.
people have stuff. Like it's kind of sick in a way because you're like, I like to hear other people's issues and things because it makes me feel like I can handle this.
Yeah, and I watched
Everybody else is doing it too.
this show Normal People. Everybody raved about it. I thought I wasn't gonna like it. I really fought it off. And it was just this romance, but not an easy one between these like little high schoolers all the way throughout college. And I thought to myself, wow, like this is a sweet spot because everybody transitioned from being like 14 into 34. And in that, their intellectual and emotional, their hearts grew in some way. Crushes happened, were met, were unmet, were, you know, you were ignored, you were enjoyed, you were whatever. And I think I realized that I'm drawn to that not because of this specificity, which is was not mine, but because of the journey. I think, you know, like that was really. So what do you do in day, like, well, first off, I have to ask the question I always ask.
Yeah.
Like, what got you in the door to burn?
God, it's funny because I was thinking about that. I was like, I think she's gonna ask me that question. So I actually started when it opened up, like
I love that.
all the people that went to my kids' school, elementary school. So like Deirdre Sakura, Terry Passeri,
Yeah.
all those like Aaron Lopez, like all of those Kelly Inschwaller, they all were like, oh, we're going, you should go. I remember walking in and it was, there were so many people and it was such a big thing. And I was like, holy, this is not me. Like, holy,
Yeah.
I am out of here as soon as she's done talking. Right.
My God, I
Like
love it.
I was like, I cannot, I mean, I'm to myself, but I'm also a people person, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I was like so overwhelmed. I think I lasted like 3, 4 weeks. And then I was like, peace out. I wish you the best. It's amazing. And Alyssa impressed me from like literally from day one. I don't know why. I just connected with her, whatever she was trying to accomplish, like her just she is and what she brings to the table. But
Yeah.
I was like, too many people, too big, too much.
Yeah.
And I was like, peace out. And they were all of my friends were like, no, I think you're gonna like it. And I'm like, I'm not staying to find out.
Yeah.
And so I left. And over the, I think it was 2 years that I was not there. I can't tell you how many people would say to me, you really need to go. Like, it's kind of your vibe. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'll find it interesting to hear. I never felt comfortable in a gym.
Yeah.
No gym ever. I've
Hi.
been at Edge, I've been at Crunch, I've been
Yeah.
at Orange Theory,
Yeah.
all of them. And I would say there were periods of, okay, I'm going to do it because I want to be fit.
Yeah.
But I never walked through the door and was like, yay, like, let's go. I want to be here. It was like, I need to get the workout, so I'm going to stay despite the rest of it.
Yes.
And then I don't even remember what brought me back. I think it was probably Terry and a couple of the rest of them. And they were just
Yeah.
like, go back, like, just go. And then I walked in the door, which was so incredibly hard because then it was like already set up. Like people were
Yeah.
already established. And I was coming into
Yeah.
this like
Yeah.
already like half cooked thing or fully cooked thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what changed. I don't know. And now I would say to you, I can't even imagine my day to day without that 45 minutes. Like I literally depend on it. It's sanity for me.
Yeah.
So not my normal personality, like walk in, high five in the middle of it all and being on the mic and none of it, none of it. I mean, I'm in sales, but like I have to put on a show to be in sales. Like it's so not inherently who I am.
Heather, I am dying inside right now because when I walked in, you were like the poster child for Vern to me. You were. So I think
Funny.
I mean, it's so awesome to hear that that's not how it felt, because no. I mean, and to
2 years it took me to come back.
Yeah.
And it was really peer pressure. Like, I hate to say it because you know,
teach you love your friends.
Like, yeah. It's not about peer pressure. And, you know, you've got to, you know, be your own person and do your own thing. I it was a little bit of FOMO. It was like, all these people are enjoying this and I need a place and I don't have a place. And
well, it's like any relationship. You weren't, I mean, whatever it was initially was overwhelming to you. You know, I knew my husband for 10 years. And wrote a list when I finally got in a cast in a show with him, I wrote a list of why I would not date him. But yeah. If I were to date him, I had a few reasons, like 2 pages worth of what I liked about him. And then a year later, we got together. So like,
yeah, that was my relationship with Byrne, I think.
Yeah.
Beginning, very beginning. Yeah.
But I think that like when I, what I really, and you know, you can't, that history, I think it made you probably is what I recognize in you, or somehow like the empathy or the understanding that like we're all individuals within this room with different experiences. And it's not like, I keep saying this on the podcast and it's hard to really explain, but I still feel anonymous when I go in there. It not because I'm not seen or I'm not said hello to, but I feel a sense of privacy that I can't explain, except that there aren't mirrors and that we're not doing anything like to test ourselves. We're just working on ourselves. And I just sense in the community, everybody's doing the best they can as opposed to, and when I show people, and when I say like I'm at Byrne, everyone's like, oh God. I was like, they don't really get it because it isn't an oh God.
It's not. It's. I think the perception is very different from the reality. And I think that was my initial, like the perception was like, oh God, oh God. No, it's not me. I mean, I'm not, I don't know, but you're right. And I love that everybody has a journey and everybody has a story. And
yeah,
I never, ever, and you could ask Alyssa this, I never, ever saw myself on the mic.
Well, this is the next awesome thought is like, because I think she has like just an incredible, every story I've heard from a trainer about how they got there is like, it's just awesome. So how did you get there?
You know, it's funny. I was trying to recall it. I have the worst memory ever. Like my kids were like, we just talked about that like 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, wait, what? Was I in the room? Are you sure? Here's how I remember it. And you can, maybe when this goes live or something, someone will be like, yeah, Heather, that is so not how it happened.
Great. I love it. Tell me your POV.
My point of view. So I was always intrigued, right? Like when I got there, when I finally did get there and I was doing the workouts, seeing Alyssa on the mic and just watching her and just in my heart, there was like a little piece of me that was always like, I think that could be really cool. Like, I think I would like that. And I think I could possibly be okay by, you know, like doing it. Like I might be all right. And I'm always the self-doubter about myself. And I was always so scared. I'm like, that's not my personality. That's not who I am. I don't want to be in the center of the room.
Yeah.
Preaching to these people. Like, no, so not me. I don't want to be the center of attention. I want to be in the back. And I'm only in the front, which is really funny. I'm only in the front because I'm like, I need to pay attention or else I'm not going to pay attention.
Yeah.
I was that kid. Like I always wanted to sit in the front of the room so that I like hear what they're saying and like can absorb it because I'm really visual and I'm really.
Yeah. It's a process thing.
It's a process for me. So I always just was intrigued. And so I remember talking to her about it and she was like, you know, if you want, you know, like anytime you want, like to talk, to do whatever. She was always so encouraging and so just open and easy. And I don't know what it was, but I was like, no. That being said, I want to learn about it. So I actually started to, I'm a learner. I'm like, I could be in school for the rest of my life. I am such a learner. So My mother used to always say to me, you used to ask questions and I would answer them, and then you would ask another question, and then I would answer it, and you would ask another, and I didn't have any more answers. So anyway, so I would just ask her questions, and then I'm like, you know what? Like, can I read your book that you used to study just so I can learn? Like, I want to know what I'm doing. I want to know what I'm working. I want to know how it's supposed to work. I want to know what I'm doing wrong, like all the things.
Oh my God, talk about the back door to getting on a mic.
100%. So I read the book. And then I was like, one day I was like, she was like, what are you going to do with it kind of thing? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll just take the test, see if I pass. You know what I mean? Like, it was that, literally that, like, baby steps. Like,
yeah,
I just couldn't make the leap.
Yeah.
Not because she didn't have the ability. Like, she was like, you should try it. And I'm like, nope, thank you. It's not my thing. I don't see it. But, like, in my heart, there was always a part of me that was like, I freaking want to do this. I just don't think I can.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to fail. I just don't want to take the leap and then be like, I stink. And then be like, I'm the worst. I failed. Like, I don't know if I can recover from that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I took the test. I passed. I had the conversation with Alyssa. She was like, get on the, like, I think I got close a couple of times. I don't even think I passed. I don't even remember if I passed. This is where I got to go get the details from,
yeah,
from Alyssa. But I remember, you know, this going on for a while. And then I think it was Kara Glad who knew, like, sort of my journey. And she was standing next to me. We were working out. And Alyssa was on the mic. And Kara goes, when's Lofstein getting on the mic? And Alyssa was like, and like that was, and I remember going like, oh my God. And maybe I did the warm up. I don't even remember. Maybe I did the warm up. That was it.
Yeah.
And I just remember walking away and just being like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this sudden empowering, I don't even know what it was. And just no stopping from there. Like, that was, I don't know. And I will tell you, it wasn't me. It was all the, you know, people in my ear. Like, Alyssa was like my biggest fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard her in my ear and I just wanted to do it. And I just wanted to, I don't know. And it was such a big moment for me. And then I just remember the text that she sent out to the group saying, like, welcome Lofstein to the, and like, literally, I felt like I could cry. Like, it was such.
Well, I'm fully crying. So that makes sense.
It was just, I don't know, maybe one of those life moments where you're like, I did it. Like, I didn't think I could do it. I have this person who just lifted me up and pushed me over the finish line. And I don't know. And now it's like, I freaking wouldn't change it for the world. Like, I love, love, love that. I love being on the mic. I love the feeling that I get when someone comes up and says, that was great. Like, thank you. You know?
Yeah.
I don't get that from my job. Like my
routine. So what I think is what's unique about the trainers or the way she's empowering them is that it is like a test of like your own personal courage. Like so many, like Ashley was in, you know, in the.
Ashley was another one. She was on the sidelines, rah, rah. Like she was.
She was in the babysitting room, you know, and could like, yeah. What I've learned from most of the people that are training is that, you know, it was something that people grew into and then grew out of and then now share with everybody in the room. Like there is a great power in encouraging people. I find that in teaching, in a way that I was never was believed it to be true, because everyone would always say acting, like those who can't act teach. And I find it just the opposite. I find teaching is my secret weapon for cultivating my own creativity. Like I'm in enamored and in awe of like the imaginations of the people that I'm working with, whatever age they may be. And I'm always inspired when I walk out of the room. And I find that you guys, when I'm working out, you know, you encourage, and giving that sort of energy towards others, it's like waiting, you know, it's regrooving your understand, like you're looking at someone working hard, and then it makes you trust yourself more and go, yeah, sometimes things are hard to do. You know,
I will tell you that the encouragement that I got from Alyssa and from Ashley and all the other people in the room who wanted to see me on the mic literally pushed me over the hump. Like, I don't know that I would have had the courage to do it on my own. Because yeah. I didn't have the faith that I would succeed.
Yeah. You thought of other outcomes.
I thought of every other outcome. I'm like, all these people won't be my friend anymore. I can't even show my face in the gym. So now I got to find another place to work out. Like, literally every bad thought in my mind was circulating in my mind. I certainly absolutely know for sure that I wouldn't have been able to do that. And it sounds so trite and it sounds so scripted. It's really not. Like, I literally never saw myself. It's not like I was like, oh my God, when I grow up, I want to be this.
Yeah.
It was like the opposite. It was like, I think I could potentially maybe be okay at this, but I don't want to try because what if I'm not?
I know, but think about our kids or think about people that you know that, you know, a lot of us get very stationary because of
100%.
Our overthinking. It was like when you asked me to play softball. And what was so funny about your innocent, I know it's like, we need a roster. Like, why don't you join? And I, my brain was like, she has no idea about my history with softball in the third grade and how poorly I played and like how, like, we won best float, but like, that was about it. Anyway, but it's not about that. Like, every time I go to softball, it's like a beginner's mind for me. I love my team. I love watching everybody excel or play horribly or play great. Like, the whole thing I find encouraging in humanity. And it just comes because it's the one thing that, thanks to you, Heather, my expectations are not limiting me.
Yep.
And but I think about it all the time.
Story. That's my life story.
Yeah. But I think that you did that for yourself and it sounded like it was much more of a climb than others might've had. But I don't think for anybody stuff comes as easy as we think it does. You know, like my perception of you was, you know, it was just pure admiration. And like, when I see your energy coming into the room or I see your, you know, you showing an example, it's what I aspire to have, that enthusiasm, A, in my body, B, with what we're telling other people to do physically. But even, you know, it's not even like a conscious aspiration. I'm just inspired to do it myself, you know, what I notice about trainers too, is everybody has like, there is an open mindedness and an open heart. And it isn't about you're either in or you're out. Like, either you can do it or you can't, or you're, you know, like there isn't one way. And that is huge.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I can look at someone and say, all right, if you can't do this, well, here's a modification, or here's a way to, you know, make it harder without grabbing more weight, or,
yeah,
you know, you do. And I literally say it all the time. Like, you do you, this is your 45 minutes. Like, you do what you're capable of doing. I'm going to be here to push you where you don't think you could go, but I also want you to do what's good for you and make it enjoyable and make it, you know, your journey.
I also think you guys had spending 45 minutes of your time, and you all additionally work out, but even in that, it's you're putting your energy on somebody else in a way that's not like child rearing where there's expectations. Like, you're just there for 45 minutes to like fluff us up, you know, like to massage our auras with energy.
It's not fluff, but I find so it really fills my bucket.
Yeah.
Fills my bucket like nothing else. I mean, obviously take my kids because those are, you know, my bucket fillers. But I think one of the main reasons why I was so happy to finally do this was because I don't get this feeling from my day job.
Yeah.
I love my day job.
Yeah.
I do. I work in a cool industry. I get to meet cool people. But it's such a different world This I get every single day. Something happens that makes me feel so proud.
Yeah.
Being part of this.
Yeah.
Every day.
Amazing.
Like, and it's you. It's you guys. It's like, I'm in camp and someone next to me goes, thank you for continuing to go because I was watching you and you made me go. Or thank you for actually saying, keep going, because that made me keep going. Or thank you for, you know, helping me adjust my form. You know, the little things, like I do it all the time because I see somebody, I'm like, oh, I don't want them to get hurt. And you run over and, you know, and you don't think about it, but like that could have changed someone's day. Like that could have, you know what I mean? And that
you think about that now because of the impact that I have, like the little gestures, it's true. When you go in, we are vulnerable when we're going to work out for the first time at Burn or at any place. You are vulnerable. We may not call it that, but that's what it feels like, overexposed. And I watch people that I have like invited to come, like get lost a little bit in the undertow of like insecurity and just pure, you know, muscle pain because you're working things you haven't worked before and not be able to like, just come be vulnerable. It's really hard. I mean, I think that part of it, and that's the muscle that I enjoy working. I think it's comical that I love the other day you said to me, I walked out and you're like, don't tell me what we're doing in there. As you walked in.
I don't want to know.
And it was so great because that's my mindset. I was like, again, not something I knew somebody else was thinking, but when I am like, I'm like getting out of bed, getting dressed, I'm like, don't go. But my feet are smarter than my mind. So I'm fully, you know, getting dressed. And then I walk in and I'm like, you know, in defense mode of like, oh God, am I going to survive? No, of course I'm going to survive it. But like, I just loved seeing that reflection in you, who's such a badass, where I was like, it's just this wonderful moment of like, again, you just have to trust. And I think I wish we all applied it to like everything from like the PTA to our own work. Like everybody is holding a whole lot of thoughts behind what they're presenting, you know?
It's so true. We said it before, everybody has a story. Everybody has their own journey. And, you know, you project and you go, oh my God, they got all their shit together. Like, look at that. And you're like, no, that's why I'm totally human. It's funny. It's like you think, you know, trainer or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't tell Alyssa this, but like, I generally don't look at the workout unless I'm training.
Yeah.
I don't. Now, I probably should, because God forbid something happens and I got to get on the mic. I got to know what I'm talking about. Right. But like, I don't, because I just want to walk in and I just want to have a clear head and I just want to do it. You know what I mean? I don't want my, you know, oh my God, I'm going to have to do a goblet squat. What if like I can't do 35s and someone next to me do, like, I never want to be that. I just want to go in and just be like, I'm here. I'm going to do whatever it is that you put in front of me to the best of my ability. And I'm going to walk out and I'd be happy that I did it.
What is the one thing that you dread doing?
In the gym?
Yeah. Not one, but like, what is the thing when you're like, oh, I have to do those?
Because I don't like it, because I can't
do it. Like what is like, if it's on the menu, it makes you nervous. Like I can't jump rope yet. Notice I say yet, because I'm getting better and I don't practice. So if you don't practice, you're not going to get better. And I'm wanting to get better at pushups again.
Yep.
I will practice and I will get better. And I love that Milas can't do the Heismans, which is so
exciting. It's so fun to watch different people. Heismans are the funnest, like the most fun to watch people, because you get people who are like dainty and you get people who are like all rugged and you get people who are jamming and you get me. It's like everybody has a different Heisman. You know, it's funny. This makes me more human, but like when you have to jump up onto the rig, onto the bar, so you do like a push up and then you pop it up and you jump up.
Yeah.
One of the times that I did that, I'm probably one of the shortest people at the gym, right? Yes. It takes me really far to like jump up, even when you're athletic, right? I am athletic, but like, it's just not a, whatever. So I jumped up, my hand slipped off the bar, and I fell flat on my back. I did not get hurt. I did not get hurt, but it was, I don't know, it took me down like a couple of rungs. Like I was like, oh my God, I literally can't jump onto the bar. Like all these people are doing it. Like people of different heights and weights and shapes and sizes and athleticism.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that. Like how mortifying, like I can't do that. Still to this day, I don't really do it. I use a stool and I step up to the bar and I just kind of reconcile it with like, I, you know, it's okay. I'm going to mod this.
I love that. I loved, okay. I remember the other day, my back is getting better. I'm close to like it feeling like I can exercise with it. But, and I think it came from actually softball and Janet kept saying to me, you know, Margie, like everybody's warming up. And I'm like, Janet, nobody's like, everyone was talking, but she was telling me to warm up. And it's just, I was like, will you stop focusing on me? Like tell everybody else to pick up a ball. But in the end, I overexerted myself that particular game, like swinging and like really trying to use more muscle that I obviously had to work on a little bit. But I always think it's funny because it was like the one day Janet was like, warm up. And I like gave her lip and then,
thank you.
I don't know.
No,
but yeah. When you had back pain and you were saying like, you can only do what you can do.
And that's literally, I think everyone needs to realize that, like everybody's got something. That's my thing. I look at the bar and I'm like, I'm sure I could do it.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
Yeah.
But that one thing is in my head and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm either going to continue to try.
Yeah.
And I will figure it out one day and I will jump and I will be fine.
Yeah.
Or I will mod, I will still do the push-up and I will still, you know, get up on the bar and I will still hang and I will still, you know, and
you'll you're inspiring somebody else to allow themselves the modification as well. I mean, that's the part, you know, every time we think that like, oh, we're not nailing it, but wherever I see anybody, they don't have to be nailing it to be an inspiration to me.
100%. And you know what? Ask Deirdre Sikora. The mods are not always modding down. Sometimes it's actually harder, or for some people, just more difficult for whatever reason. Like maybe that muscle isn't as, you know, I don't know, used as others. And so you're doing something a little different that you haven't done before. Like it's just taking the potential injury and making sure that you don't get it, you know, worse, like you don't hurt it more. So like
we're modding
for health reasons, right? Like we're modding if you have a bicep problem, we're going to mod so that you're not emphasizing your bicep or whatever.
Are your children athletic?
Crazy athletic. My son is like one of those kids that you're like, oh, play golf, and he will hit a ball 250 yards. Like he just is that kid. My dad was really athletic.
Okay.
So my dad actually was drafted by the Yankees, if you believe it.
Wow.
So he's really athletic. I grew up, I still am kind of tomboyish. I played a lot of sports. So Jake plays basketball, baseball, and golf. And Corey plays tennis.
Wow.
So they, yeah. So we play a lot of sports together.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm such a late bloomer when it comes to athleticism. I started playing tennis too. And I finally got like better at it. You know, again, practice is amazing.
Everything you have to, I mean, there's very few people in the world that could just get up and do something well. Like everybody's going to practice. You got to put time in with anything, right?
Well, I think that's it for me. That was amazing. I'm going to go and let you go. It was a pleasure.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Now, if you're in the mood, work out to Kenny Rogers, The Gambler. Have a great day. Bye.